Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you for that song. And we'll be hearing soon from those in the Glow Bible Club as they're learning songs back there as well. So, want to look here in Ephesians chapter 6. And we pick up here in, we saw last week, we started there in verse number 10. As he got to the end of this book, and as I mentioned from the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters are our theology, and then the last three chapters are the practice. How do we practice what it is that we believe? And as he draws to the end, he says there in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We want to look there at verse number 13, "Wherefore take unto you," or pardon me, verse 14, pardon me, "stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth," and how important this is. Let's have prayer first. Father, I thank you that we can know that our names are written down in the book of life. What a blessed thought. We thank you for the body that was broken, the blood that was shed for us. What a blessed thought. Tonight, as we look into your word, I ask for your Spirit's filling, and that we would learn how to gird ourselves with truth. And we'd see the battle that we're in, that this would not scare us, but that this would cause us to rely upon you and know that you're there with us. And I thank you in the Savior's name. Amen. So we saw last week why we need to put on the whole armor of God. We saw there we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they all play for keeps. That's something about sin. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. It'll always cost you more than you want to pay. And it'll always keep you longer than you want to stay. And if you keep that in mind, that this is we saw in verse 12, that it's not against flesh and blood, that this is a spiritual battle. And in this arsenal of armor, the first piece is that of truth, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, we use the term girdle, and that doesn't really translate well in our society, okay? And you think about this as it girts you about, and the better equation we have in our thinking today is that of a belt, something that holds everything together. But that's what it did. It girt them about. A girdle or a sash was always, in times past, an important part of their dress in war as well as in peace. They wore loose, flowing robes, and it became necessary to gird themselves when they traveled, when they ran, when they labored. And the girdle was often, many times, it was highly ornamental. And it was a place where they carried their money, their sword, sometimes their writing instruments and things like that. For you ladies, this would be like a purse. That's the way I saw it. I said, man, you could stick lots of things in there and carry that about. The girdle seems sometimes to have been even made from iron or steel and designed to keep, when you look at the armor, keeping all of that in place. And to gird the soldier on every side. It's holding everything in place and how important this is. Thus, we are to be girt about on every side of our lives by what? By truth. The fictitious story was told about the devil walking along with one of his cohorts, and they saw a man ahead of them. He picked up something shiny. The cohort asked, "What did he find?" The devil replied, "A piece of the truth." "Doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of the truth?" No, said the devil. I will see that he makes some sort of a religion out of it. And truth, often taken out of context and twisted, is the basis for many false religions. Because you look at false religions of the day, it's not that they're all lies. If something was a complete lie, people would go, hey, that's as phony as can be. But you take a little bit of truth and you build a religion around it, you end up with quite a bit of trouble. Someone else put it this way, that men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened. You know, it's there. We just need to not ignore it, that's for sure. Where was truth first mentioned in the Bible? You know, sometimes we look at things and we study that, what we call the study of first mention. And it sets a precedent for us when we understand Bible principles the first time they come about. Well, the first time we find the word truth in the Bible is actually in Genesis chapter 24. And there in that passage, Abraham had sent his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. And you remember, he set off to go back to Abraham's homeland. And when he got back there, what did he do? He stopped by the well and he prayed. And did God answer his prayer? And when God answered his prayer, he prayed, says there, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord and said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So he says there that God had not left Abraham destitute of his mercy and truth. So the first time we find truth mentioned in the Bible, it's combined with mercy. So when God gives us his truth, he is also very merciful. I think we could all agree that there are many truths in the Bible that God could have come down without any mercy and just said, this is the way it is, because this is the truth. But even this man recognized he had God's mercy and truth. And then he went on to say, I being in the way, the Lord led me. So that mercy and truth involves being led of God to know his will. Isn't that what that man wanted to know? He wanted to know God's will for Abraham's son, for Isaac, to bring him back a bride. Now, it's a unique story, but it shows us there a man who went out by faith. And take it this, for somebody else. It's one thing we go out by faith for ourselves. But he was looking for someone else, and by mercy and truth, God led him in the way. That was his basis. Give you a few things about truth tonight. If we're going to be standing with truth, we saw in this passage that we are to withstand and to stand. So we know that when we stand for something, we know what is established. And we'll see here in a moment, it doesn't change, but we stand upon things and we're establishing that in our lives, and then to withstand, now we know what we have to stand against. Standing, when we use that word stand, it's what we are standing for. And then when we withstand, we have to know what we're standing against. And I think that we need to have a very clear picture of those things, because there are some people out there, they know what they're standing against. But sometimes I wonder if they know what they're standing for. And sometimes people miss that. And even Christians. We know about, and we could go to the Ten Commandments and say, we know all about the thou shalt nots. But what is it that we're standing for? Very important. First thing is that truth does not change. Truth does not change. Turn with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 in your Bible there this evening. And the first thing we need to remember is that truth does not change. If it was wrong 100 years ago, is it still wrong today in the Bible? This is something we got to get down, because we're living in a constantly changing society. And if it was wrong before and it's wrong today, 100 years from now, it's still going to be wrong. Here in Psalm 100, verse 5, he says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Well, that was a generation of the past. You don't understand what it's like today. And I say, no, I do understand what it's like today. They look and say, well, people are just, they're not getting married, they're just living together. Well, that was going on hundreds of years ago. That's not new. He'll say, you don't understand what it's like for people today. I do understand what it's like for people today. Sin is still sin, and righteousness is still righteousness. And that's what we have to remember. Lying is wrong in the past. It'll still be wrong in the future. What about stealing? What about taking God's name in vain? We can look at all the basics, that's for sure. Look in chapter 117 and verse 2 there of Psalms. 117 verse 2 says, therefore, his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. The truth of the Lord endureth how long? Forever. And it's not going to change. We look at the truth of the Lord, and as I mentioned this before, when we get to know God, we need to know God's character, because his character is not going to change. You say, the world is changing. Yes, it does. Remember, Abraham left Ur of Chaldees and went to the land that God told him to. Did things change from one culture to another? Sure they did. We look around the world and there are different people in different cultures, but God's word is still to change, does not change. God is still the same. Is it right to love our enemies? It's not going to change. Salvation by grace? That's not going to change. It doesn't matter how many churches all across Canada decide that you can get saved by baptism or by good works or by church membership or anything else. Doesn't matter what they decide. Doesn't matter if there's a conference of churches that say, this is, you know, you don't need the blood of Jesus Christ. We are studying about the battle for the Bible, and we found there that Bibles are changing, and some of them have largely removed the blood out of them. It doesn't matter what those group of so-called translators have done. They're wrong. Because the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanseth us from all sin. As we've been studying on Sunday mornings about the local church, it's still going to be the same. These truths do not change. And that's where I have to stay upon the Word of God. Because there's always going to be pressure to change. If you'll do this, you know, well, the church could be bigger if you did it like this. But if we change away from God's word, we'll be wrong. We must be aware. We need to girt ourselves about with the truth that does not change. In John chapter 1, verse 17, we see the next thing is, where did the truth come from? Where do we build our truth from? Well, John chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that truth came by Jesus Christ. This is so important. John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, in the beginning, we saw mercy and truth tied together. Here we find grace and truth. What a beautiful picture. The gospel of Jesus Christ in Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We have that word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So important. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So we know that the truth does not change, and the truth came by Jesus Christ. What a fulfillment that Jesus is. And then as we're on that vein of thought, the third thing is that the truth is in the Word of God. John chapter 17, Jesus was praying there for his disciples. In John chapter 17, verse 17, he says, as he's praying, he says, he's praying for his disciples, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. And then he says, thy word is truth. So what does that word sanctify mean? It means to set us apart. So he says, set them apart through thy truth. So truth sets us apart. You say, you're not kidding. You take a stand for something. You know, and somebody else might think you're crazy. But when you stand before God one day, as we all will, every saved person has to give an account of themselves to the Lord for what they've believed and what they've held to and the way they live their life. And is he going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Because we held to his truth? That's very important. in John 4:24, as Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Remember that woman at the well? She said, well, you say you worship in Jerusalem. We say we worship over here in Mount Gerizim. And so she had her own point of view. In John 8:31, 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So there's a continuing in his word. Then he goes on to say, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Now, sometimes the truth can get us in trouble, right? Somebody doesn't like it. But I want to tell you this, and we'll get to another part here about the love that we need to have for people. But when we have the truth that makes people angry or it causes offenses, you have to remember this. We're not responsible for other people's response. You might share the truth of the gospel with someone and they might get angry. You're not responsible for their reaction. Sometimes we feel they are. We feel we are. But we've probably all been there. Well, I tried to talk to so-and-so and they got mad at me. Oh, I felt really bad. Why? Because sometimes we feel like we did something wrong. But if you ever talk to someone who, after they got saved, and they shared their testimony and said, I used to get mad at people when they shared the gospel with me. I would get mad at people when they talked about the Bible. They have never gone back and blamed the person that shared it with them. I've never heard a single testimony like that. It's always going back and saying, yeah, I got mad at them, but it wasn't their fault. It was me because I was proud. I was stubborn. I needed to be saved. So remember, we're not responsible for people's responses. For instance, Charles Darwin, in his two principal works, his two principal books that he had, and they've been accepted by many individuals of trained intellect, but these two works have used for the basis of his argument for the evolutionary model the expression like this, we may well suppose, and he used it over 800 times. That's science. You go to a science class, say chemistry, for instance, and you start mixing chemicals and say, we may well, yeah, right? We may well suppose that you came from a lower life form. So I did a little research. How many times did the Lord Jesus Christ use the word suppose? He actually used the word twice. It's used, I think it comes to us about 18 times in the Bible, the word suppose. Jesus used it two times. You know why he used it? Because he was asking a question and he said to the Jews, suppose ye. And he gave them a scenario that they would think. It wasn't like Darwin trying to draw a conclusion, saying we may well suppose. Christ was trying to get them to think. He was trying to get he was questioning them so that they would think on spiritual things. Suppose ye, and he gave them a scenario. Then you read it and you know exactly what he was saying in those passages. Never once did he ever said, you know, we may well suppose and possibility of this. No, Jesus spoke directly. Remember when he was teaching and they sent some, in the book of John there, they sent some soldiers to arrest him and the soldiers came back and they didn't have Jesus and they said, the ruler said, what's the matter? And they said, never man spake like this man. You know why? Because he didn't suppose. He had the truth. And he was the embodiment of truth. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You think how many times, because you're in the Word of God, you made the right decision. I know, it's natural for us to think how many times we made a wrong decision, okay? But tonight, let's look at this and say, how many times has the truth from God's Word helped me to make the right decision? Because the truth is in the Word of God. The truth came by Jesus Christ. The truth does not change. Also, I want to say something else here. Let's go to Psalm 119, Psalm 119, verse verse 30, Psalm 119, verse 30. And what we find here is that truth is a choice. You choose whether or not you want the truth. When you're reading your Bible and you read something and the Bible says, you have a choice whether to accept that or to reject that. We don't often think about it that way, but really that's what we're doing. Psalm 119, verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. He said, I have chosen this. In Proverbs 23:23, he says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So he's saying that we need to get truth and we need to keep it. Buy it and don't sell it. It becomes ours. When you discover truth in God's word for your life, you keep it. Amen? And I've mentioned this before. When I realized the truth of tithing for my life and giving 10% of my income to the Lord, I never turn back. You say, have people ever opposed that? Yes. Have people ever said, I disagree with you? Yes. Then you say, why'd you keep doing it? Because I found it in God's word. I bought the truth and I didn't sell it. I find things that are for me. There are many, many people have different views of eschatology or the end times. Lots of views out there. But when I found the truth of God's word, that Jesus Christ is coming back, that I'm not going through that time of Jacob's trouble, because that's when God's going to deal again with Israel, I bought the truth and I'm not selling it. You say, have people opposed that? Lots of times. You say, have people come to church and found out what you believed and then left and never came back? Yep. Yeah. But God hasn't asked, if the word of God changes, it'll have to change. You say, it's not changing. So when you get a hold of a truth, you gird that around and you live by it. But remember, he says here that this is a battle. He said, we're putting on the whole armor of God. This is not made by Fisher Price. You know, this is a battle, a spiritual thing. And so it'll take seriously. You will find truths in God's word. You'll start implementing them in your lives, and somebody will come along and act like you're stupid for holding to that belief. Somebody will come along and say, no, you can lose your salvation, and they'll have all their scriptures lined up. And surprisingly enough, there's some of the same ones that I believe that I won't lose my salvation. I say, how do you do that? I said, that's not what that says. Hey, you're more twisted than a pretzel. Come on now. Get thou the Holy Spirit to show you what this says here. Truth is a choice. Isaiah 59:14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. We would say, yeah, there are times when truth is fallen in the street. We have a whole movement, and it's not just in our land, but it's encircling the globe. There's a whole movement called a woke movement. I said, man, that's the most asleep movement I've ever heard of. There's nothing awake there at all. This world is a funny place. The philosophy says that, you know, we'll all be individuals, and we're all going to march to the tune of our own drum, and what a lie. They just want us to be carbon copies of what they want us to believe. Where God, Christ has set us free. We have the truth. We've been set free. And he makes us individuals in Christ. I'll tell you how individual you are is that there will be people that you can reach with the gospel that nobody else can. That's how individual we are. Yes, we have the same beliefs, the same doctrines, the same Bible. But he makes us individuals for him. Truth is a choice. Stand therefore, he said in Ephesians 6:14, having your loins girt about with truth. It's going to be sometimes a daily choice with truths. You might say, well, I have family that don't agree with what I'm doing. Well, you say, I have someone else that they don't agree with what I'm doing. That leads us to point number 5. This is the last one. Truth is accompanied by love. And for this, we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 15. I know I mentioned this, I believe, this morning, but I believe that it's worth repeating here, that truth is accompanied by love. Truth in its own self can really be sometimes very harsh. As I was growing up as a teenager, that's the way I really saw it. Truth was hard. It meant I had to get out of bed at a certain time, and I had chores to do before I went to school. That was the truth. And you know what I saw truth as? It was tough. And sometimes it is. But when we have the truth and we're sharing this, it's accompanied by love. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now we find in Ephesians 6:14, the truth is displayed as that which binds us together like a belt. Truth is that which binds all other characteristics of holiness in our lives, and truth must be accompanied by love. Because how can you share the gospel, tell a person that there is an eternity without Christ forever in the lake of fire, if we don't have love? That's a hard truth. But it's the truth that people need to be saved, because if not, they will perish for all of eternity, forever. Truth alone can be harsh, but when accompanied by love, the harshest of truths can be understood. And sometimes we see it in the medical world, and someone will go to the doctor, and because the doctor just tells them the truth, they might say, you know, the doctor doesn't have very good bedside manner. Well, I've learned this, that we as a people of God, we need to have a good bedside manner. We have to tell people difficult truths, but in love, to bring them to Jesus Christ. When we speak spiritually of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we speak in love. When you speak to your spouse, how do you speak? In love. When you speak to your children, you speak in love. Now, sometimes as parents, we have to be pretty straightforward, but we still do it in love. When you speak to your parents, all the kids are over in the other room, but some of us now are starting to parent our parents. And how do we, can we speak to them in love? You speak to your neighbors. You speak to them in love. You think about this encompassing all of our lives, that as we buckle on the truth, and we'll see this as we continue to put this armor of God on, we'll see each piece how this is going to help us, but we have to start with the truths of God's Word. And as you learn truths, keep them. Buy the truth and sell it not. Don't you let go of that. Now, sometimes when we first get a hold of truth, sometimes we're a little awkward with it. Maybe sometimes we're even a little bit offensive until we get to understanding it, knowing how to explain it. But don't let go. When it's God's truth, we have it forever. I mentioned the Lord teaching me to tithe, to give to Him. It's a truth. I've been giving to missions for quite a few years. And there was a day, I still remember when it was, that I was in a missions conference, and I got a hold of this truth of giving directly to missions, not my tithe, not my offering to the Lord, but I was giving directly to missions. And I got a hold of that truth. And I haven't let go of it since. Now, I was in a church one time where they didn't have a missions program. You say, what do you do? I still gave to missions. They had some missionaries. I praise the Lord. As we've seen here, we've been able to establish this and say, you know what? We're giving directly to missions. And praise God for what is going forth from here. And there will be many truths. There's those ones in giving. There will be other truths that you're going to get from God's Word. What about the truths of reading your Bible every day? Spending time with prayer, in prayer with God every day. Do not let these truths go ever. Being part of church prayer meeting. I remember sometimes going to prayer meeting and I was so tired, I thought, what good is this going to do? These men are going to pray and I'm going to fall asleep. Sometimes I probably did. But you get a hold of the truth and you hang on to it because it is of the Lord. The truth that you speak, what is its source? We'd say the Word of God. The truth that you speak, is it accompanied with love? What kind of truth are you putting on as a Christian? It's got to be unchanging. It's got to be that gospel truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is going to hold everything else together. When you look at your life, do you see how effective the truth is for you? Where would you be without the truths from God's Word? Let us have prayer. My Father, I thank you this evening as we look at this first piece of armor, that you would help us to buckle this on. I know that it may come at an expense, and I'm thankful as I look back of those in the past, some even gave their lives for the truth, that we don't have to do that today, but that we can share the truth. We can live the truth. And then help us to do it in love. That you would pour that into our hearts and souls. Now, Father, that we're not trying to be offensive by any means, but that we would have the truths of your word that we would give out in love. I pray you would empower us. I pray you would help us to make right decisions. And where we see that there's areas that need to change in our life because your truth comes in, that we would listen. We would know and do that which is right. I pray you would help your people tonight. And the truths that we hold to would not slip away. That you would help us. And I ask this in Jesus' name and amen.